Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. Looking forward to the dialogue and discussion on our issue of the day. Let me remind you, as you tune in to Let's Face the Issues each day, we welcome you aboard, invite your telephone call and the dialogue and the discussion together. This broadcast is designed around a Q&A format. That is, you can ask the questions, we can give the answers, we can have the dialogue and discussion. Most of the time we have those that call with a very profound question and very real question that they're searching an answer on, an answer for, and we try to do that. Occasionally there'll be those that we might disagree with. We're not going to be disagreeable in our disagreement, but we do want to have an open dialogue and discussion on the issues. Today we're going to be talking about, which Bible should I read? Is there a right Bible or a correct Bible or a wrong Bible? Is there a good translation or bad translation? Which Bible should we use today? Let me remind you that telephone number to get into the discussion, dialogue and discussion on this. Perhaps you have your opinion on which Bible, which translation ought to be used. Perhaps you're using one that you think is heaven sent and it's the only one that should be used and you would disagree with what we have to say. But nevertheless, we'd love to have this dialogue and discussion with you. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you right through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, we do so based on a biblical worldview. It's not a matter of my philosophy or feeling. It's not a matter of some denominational dogma or rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. It's not based upon what I think or say. It's based upon what the Word of God says. That's the only thing that's truly authoritative. And may I remind us, as we look at the Scripture, we need to understand that it is truth. The Scripture says, Jesus speaking, if you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus identifies the truth. Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that is truth. In fact, we'll be talking about the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God today, the Bible, and what we ought to look for when we search for a scripture to read and to study and to know the will and the way and the word of God and what he'd have us to do and say. Let me remind us, ladies and gentlemen, today's broadcast, this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for the individual looking to own his own landscape business, a lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries the hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has a full line of Honda generators with the knowledgeable staff that can answer all your questions about backup power generation, especially for the hurricane season. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, and that address is perhaps more specifically noticed as we think of it as being at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, where the 165-foot Old Glory, the flag flies at that intersection location. If you look down at the base of the flag, you'll see Tools for Time. Or just look them up, toolsfortime.com. That's toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me do this before we get into the monologue, then the dialogue, the discussion. We have Dr. Neil Phelps with us today. Dr. Phelps is a theology professor and teaches the Bible and theology at the doctrinal subjects and the Conservative Theological University. We're always delighted to have him on board with us as we have dialogue and discussion. It gives us an opportunity, as I call it, to pick his brain and let him talk with us about some of the vital issues that we need to understand as Christians. Before we get into that dialogue and discussion, before we get into my monologue leading into that, let me invite you to worship with us this Sunday. 9:30 Sunday morning is Bible study hour, Sunday school time. Many as adults think Sunday school is just for kids. No, it is not. Sunday school, the Bible study hour, is for children and adults, for every age group, an opportunity to get into the cell groups, the individual group studies, to have dialogue and discussion about the topic that the teacher is speaking on. So that's 9:30 on Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m. and at 7 p.m. on Sunday. We have worship service at on Old St. Augustine Road, 12021. We're located exactly 1 mile south of I-295. It's First Conservative Baptist Church. We've met so many of you by way of the radio broadcast. We've had the privilege down through the years of having multitudes of you come and worship with us that we can get to know you on a firsthand basis. We'd love to see you. If you're not involved in a church, we'd love to have you. If you've not said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, we pray that somehow, some way, what we do on this broadcast each day will cause you to ponder and search for the truth of the Word of God through the Scripture, and that you'd come to know Him as Savior and as Lord. If you're looking for a church where you can have an opportunity to study the Word, know the Word, allow the Word of God to be hidden in your heart, if you're looking for a church where the old-fashioned gospel songs are still the order of the day, then you would enjoy First Conservative Baptist Church. We're delighted to have you, and we invite you to come and worship with us even this Sunday. One other thing, ladies and gentlemen, the fall semester is about to start in Conservative Theological University. I'll be teaching a course on hamartiology and soteriology. If you wonder, well, what in the world is that? Hamartiology comes from the word hamartia, which simply means sin. Soteriology is the study of salvation. And so we'll be studying for this semester that I'll be lecturing on. It is about sin and salvation. What is sin? How do you know sin? How can you identify sin? What does the Bible say about sin? How do you rid yourself of the guilt of sin? And that is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through biblical salvation. Dr. Phelps will be teaching a course out of the book of Acts, picking up with about the 13th chapter and going through the following chapters of the book of Acts. It will be on Paul's missionary journeys. And I know that you will be thrilled and you will be interested in and challenged by. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are looking for a place where you can complete your biblical credentials, your Associates of Arts, a Bachelor of Arts, Master of Arts, Master of Divinity, or any one of the five doctoral programs, we'd love to have you call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. 1-800-GO-BIBLE, leave your contact information that someone can get back with you. Schedule a time to go through an interview process and determine exactly what tract of study you need to be on. We have students around the world that's involved in every capacity and every area of ministry, serving the Lordship of Jesus Christ in and through their lives. We'd love to have you join in Conservative Theological University, complete your credentials, complete your studies. Perhaps you're just a Sunday school teacher and a deacon, or as some would call it, just a simple layperson wanting to know the Word of God better. That's wonderful. You'd be surprised how many pastor, preacher, teachers that's in the pulpit in ministry today that started in Bible college just as a, quote, layperson seeking to know God's Word better. And as they got further down the road in the study and the preparation, God called them to a life of service in Christian ministry. So join in that opportunity. We have a number of different scholarships and partial scholarships and work scholarships and ministry scholarships that are available. So if you feel God's called you to ministry and you want to study the Word, I believe that we can lock arms together, and God will show us the way, provide the opportunity for you to get enrolled and get involved. The fall semester is coming up now in just a few short weeks, just a couple of weeks. And we'd love to have you at this last minute get enrolled for the fall semester. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE, Conservative Theological University. Love to have you on board with us. Dr. Phelps, it's always a delight to have you with us. We're thankful for your ministry and what the Lord is doing. But before we have the discussion that I want our listeners to hear, let me just simply set the table with our listeners by asking a few questions. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever considered or thought about or considered what the Bible does for society today and without the Bible, where we'd be? Have you ever wondered or even thought about what the world would be like, what the nation would be like, you would be like, what our lives would be like without the Bible, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? I believe we're blessed as a nation today as no other nation on the face of God's green earth. I believe we're blessed in America with our religious liberties and the freedoms that we have that allows us to have our own Bible, to read our own Bible. In China, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you already know this, but in China, the communist government's now confiscating Bibles, closing churches, persecuting Christians, destroying, literally dismantling and destroying Christian churches. Today, the Chinese government is underway with the rewriting of the Word of God. And they are inculcating in the rewriting of the Word of God the focus on the Chinese form of government. And they're doing that so that as Christians in China study the Bible and read the Bible, they'll bow to government more than to God. That's literally the end result. They're wanting it to be in harmony with Chinese communism. And as a result of that, they're rewriting the Bible. Multitudes of nations like North Korea and all of the Islamic nations, you may or may not be aware of it. The Bible is banned. The Bible is not allowed. You try to go to Indonesia today and take your Bible. You try to go to any one of the predominant Islamic nations and take your Bible. You can't do it. And so we're free as a people that have the Word of God. In fact, it was George Washington that said, it's impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and without the Bible. And I stand wholeheartedly behind that statement that George Washington made so long ago. It's a fact. It's true. In fact, where you find any nation that's had the Word of God, any nation where they've focused on and the study of the Lord Jesus Christ, any nation where that is true, you find a nation that is more in focus with what is right and what is wrong. I'm not saying they're all Christian nations by making that statement. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about which Bible should I use? What is the right Bible? Is there a wrong Bible? But we must ask the question, just how should the average Christian today, ladies and gentlemen, respond to the hundreds of different translations of the Bible? I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but there are literally hundreds of translations. In fact, there are about 450 different translations of the Bible in the English text today. So the question must be asked and answered, which Bible is really the best translation? Which Bible should I read? Which Bible is the Word of God? Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can have some dialogue and discussion together on this issue today. Why do we have so many translations of the Scripture? Have you ever asked, I don't know about you, but have you ever asked these questions? Have you ever answered them? I'll never forget the time, Dr. Phelps, many years ago, perhaps you've heard me say this, but many years ago, having the privilege to present the plan of salvation, sitting in a home with a husband and wife, and had my wife with me, and it had not been long after we'd started this ministry here, and we've been here about 35 years plus, and we're in a home sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm sitting beside the lady on the couch, and had gone through what we call the Roman road of salvation. That's the plan of salvation, how a person is saved and how sins are remitted, forgiven, how sins are put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And shared that with her. And as I did, I would let her read the scriptures. I would point under the scriptures and ask her to look at it as I would read them. And I finished the presentation and asked, would she like to receive Christ as Savior? Had the most profound, unusual question posed to me that I believe I had ever seen in my Christian ministry and life. And she said to me, well, that's just what your Bible says. What about some other translation? Maybe another translation would say something different. Can I believe what you're saying to me is what she was saying. Can I believe that Bible that you're reading to me as being real and from God? Now, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, about you, but that is a very profound question. And whether a person has asked that question or not, I believe, Dr. Phelps, there are multitudes, if not millions, in society today that are asking that question. You tell me this is what the Bible says. Perhaps another translation says something different. You tell me this is what I need to do to get saved. Perhaps another translation would tell me something different. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying to you is that it is vital for us to understand what we hold in our hand that many times has a gold leaf print on the front says Holy Bible. Is it the Holy Bible? Is it the Word of God? Dr. Phelps, I believe that there's a whole cadre of these and variety of these so-called translations that are harming the spread of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ rather than helping. How do you respond to that? You've heard my monologue. What is your response to what I've said, Dr. Phelps?
I think one of the ways I could answer that would be to say that we're in a time of apostasy, and that is a time of departing.
Yes, in fact, it's good that you say that, because I touched on apostasy and the falling away on several of the broadcasts during the course of this week. And I believe we're in a declension. I believe we're in an apostasy. I believe we're in the time of falling away. All church membership is decreasing. All denominational numbers are decreasing. And there seems to be a whole departure from the truth, Dr. Phelps. Is that related to these perverted texts that's called the different translations? What are your thoughts on that? How would you respond to it? What should our listeners understand about that?
In answer to the question, why do people depart from the faith? I believe it is because we have abandoned the truth. When I say we, many people in our land have abandoned the truth of the Word of God. Those who have departed from the faith have given heed to the false teaching by those who have abandoned the truth. And that's what the Word of God says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days, latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And so the Scriptures warn us about the time which we're now living. I believe it is that time when we are departing actually from the truth. So here's my statement, my answer to that is, New Age versions of the Bible have been responsible for the general departure from the faith. The editors of the various New Age versions have corrupted the text of the Scriptures by the unnecessary changes, the uninformed alterations, the unwarranted additions, and the unexplained omissions found in many places in these so-called Bibles. The changes made in the Holy Scriptures were made by unqualified editors who dared to tamper with the truth. Unholy hands have corrupted the truth of the New Age version Bibles.
With that being said, Dr. Phelps, perhaps our listeners are asking the question, what is a New Age Bible? What do we mean by the New Age versions? What does that connote? Ladies and gentlemen, you can jump in this discussion and ask your question. I'm sure there are multitudes listening today that you're wondering, well, what is the New Age Bible? What are the New Age versions? How do we understand that? Dr. Phelps, when I look at a translation, or when I look at anybody's writings, research and writings, theological journals, I go back, first of all, and look at the way they handle certain texts. For example, the first thing I turn to in one is John 3:16, and what it says in the King James text, and what those words connote, and what's found in so many of the New Age versions. And so many of those, in fact, I have here on my desk for the purpose of this broadcast today, what is called the Message Bible. I'm looking at it, says the Bible. In contemporary language, the Message by Eugene H. Peterson. It's on the front of it. And this is what John 3:16 says, Dr. Phelps. I'm going to read it slowly, and then we're going to talk about the declensions, the problem. This text says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need to be destroyed by the believing in him. Anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger. telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world at right and make it right. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. Is anything wrong with that text, Dr. Phelps?
One of the things I would suggest that we should consider is that there are many words found in that text that are not found in the Bible.
Right.
They have added to the Word of God. And we find that other New Age versions do the same. For example, in the NIV, which is a notable representation of the New Age versions, they have changed the wording similarly to that. The words in our King James Bible in John 3:16 read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I believe that's what God wrote in the Bible.
That's right. And Dr. Phelps, it's and I know that you're aware of this, it's much deeper even. It's not just a matter of changing the words God gave us, but each word has meaning. Where it says, only begotten Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go back and you study that from the Greek text, that is the uniquely begotten one, the uniquely born one. And it's referring to the virgin birth. And if you take the modern version, it leaves the virgin birth out of John 3:16.
Yes.
And if Jesus Christ is not virgin born, he is not very God.
Yes. The words only begotten Son in the King James are changed to one and only in these New
yes.
Age versions. And that's one of the ways you can recognize a New Age Bible. One and only Son is used in the New Age versions. It's not an accurate translation of the Greek word for only begotten.
Right.
There's a special word for only begotten. The NIV editors simply omitted the truth that's found in the inspired scriptures. Could it be that the liberal editors doubted the virgin birth of Christ? I use the word editors rather than translators.
Explain
because
that
they
to
seem
our listeners.
To lack translation skills.
Explain that to our listeners. I think that's a valid point that our listeners need to understand. What's the difference in just calling them editors and translators?
Well, these people who point themselves as editors and writing a new version are really not qualified. They are not. They're not trained. They are not taught in the scriptures, and they do not really have the qualifications for being a translator. Therefore, their work is unreliable.
You've heard me use this illustration before. A number of years ago, we flew an individual in. I'll not call his name on the broadcast. He had been one of the main editor on a New Testament that was published by a Christian publishing house out on the West Coast. And he was to he stayed in the home with us. He was to be here for about a month, and he was going to help do some writing. This is back years and years ago. He was going to do some writing on some online e-courses for us at the time. And on Wednesday evenings, as I would teach, I would kind of digress to and refer to this gentleman because he was a linguist and had studied the Greek and the Hebrew text and was responsible for that particular translation. And so I would ask him, well, doctor, and I'd call his name, what do you think about what I just said? And finally, about the second or third week, he said, well, let me say this. He said, you're the theologian. You're the pastor, preacher, teacher. I'm just a linguist, and as a linguist, I do not pay any attention to word context. I just look at what the word says. He says, I am a word cruncher, and that was his answer. And I had never thought of it until that point, of the danger of a linguist, a word cruncher, just writing the words and not having the full understanding theologically, doctrinally, as a theologian, as to what those words mean in context. So that is a valid point, Dr. Phelps, and I'm praying that our listeners understand the seriousness of this broadcast and this discussion today. What further would you have to say to our listeners about the New Age versions and the dangers of those?
Well, another reference is found in also in John 1:14. The liberal thinking of the NIV editors, New International Version, seems to question the virgin birth of the Savior. In the King James Version, we read, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, that's also found in John 3:16, where we read, "the only begotten," and that's the reference to our Savior. So the words "only begotten of the Father" in John 1:14 are changed in these New Age Bibles to read "one and only." The Greek word is a special word, is simply overlooked by the editors. They do not make the right translation, and that does not make the truth easier to understand. And I believe that perverts the truth of the virgin birth.
Absolutely. In fact, Dr. Phelps, a lot of people that I have talked with that talk about these new versions, new paraphrases and translations, they say, well, the King James is so archaic, so stilted, so difficult to read, and I just want one that I can read so easily. And these New Age versions claim to be easier to read and can help one understand more about the Bible. How do you respond to that?
We believe the Bible is the Word of God given by inspiration, and that it's important in relation to faith. The alterations that are made in the New Age Bibles actually create a misunderstanding of the truth. The editors of the New Age versions not only corrupted the text of the Scriptures, but they also polluted the truth of the Word of God. The changes in the text have tarnished the truth. The many alterations in the biblical text vary from inspired words that increase faith to words that invite doubt. I would ask, is readability more important than reliability? While the many New Age versions tend to mislead some people away from the faith, we can continue to rely upon the King James Version that leads us to be steadfast in the truth. You see, it's only by the truth of the Scriptures that we have the right revelation of the Savior. New Age versions change the truth and therefore are erroneous views about the Lord Jesus Christ. So just as vitamins are vital to our health, so the truth is vital to our faith.
Absolutely. In fact, Dr. Phelps, we've got just a few moments before the break time on the broadcast today, but I find it antithetical to the truth of the Word of God, people saying, well, it's easier to read some of these others. And I know back in high school early years in the college era, with people in the academic process, they're forced to read and understand Shakespeare, and that's difficult reading to understand Shakespeare. But yet they require that because it's supposed to be academically sound and help a person get along with the academics and be a better learned person. And yet when it comes to the reading of the Word of God, well, it's stilted, it's archaic, and I just need something that's easier to read. You don't hear that mantra about Shakespeare in the schools. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute break for our news and our station identification. Hang in there. Come right back. Don't turn your dial.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.